It should be warned that this episode will contain many spoilers for the following movie we're about to discuss, so be forewarned. Spoilers ahead. Hello and welcome. I am Kyle.
And I am Ryan.
And together we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, good or bad, we will grind out the experience and give you our honest opinion on those experiences. So here we are. This is the Experience Grind Podcast. It's a very special episode today.
It is.
Because we have our first guest.
We do.
And our first guest is one of my best friends of all time, Mr. Nathan Ferris.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome.
So a little bit, you know, about what we do. We're going to talk about the experiences that we encounter. I'm really rambling here at this point.
You had it. You were doing so good.
I lost it.
You introduced Nathan, and it all went off the rails.
It's all your fault, man.
To be expected.
I was not putting the blame on Nathan. Let's just be clear. I was putting the blame on you.
I will drag the show down, just so you know.
So before we even really get into anything, I just want to let people know we will be talking about Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And so it should also go without stating this, we'll be heavily spoilered.
There's not going to be any section without spoilers. We're going to just straight into spoilers.
So if you haven't seen it yet, if you're one of like two people, I guess, in America that has not seen this movie.
It's been well over a month.
Yeah, maybe don't listen.
You had your chance.
But yeah, so warning, spoilers, many of them ahead. So I guess let's bring people in. You know, they know a lot about us, but Nathan is brand new to this.
Yeah.
And I thought the best way to introduce Nathan to the world would be to tell the incredibly complex and weird coincidental story of how Nathan and I met. And
you've never heard this before?
I have never heard the story.
I don't know why you would have, I guess.
I've been saving it.
Kyle likes to tell me the stories of all his friends who I've not met, how he met them. This is what he does.
But this one is easily the best story. So
I'll be the judge of that. Continue.
I think it was... You know, chime in anytime, Nathan, and help me out here. But I think it was around the time, I know Vice City had recently come out.
But yeah, I'll say it's probably 2002 because I had just moved to the Bedford area.
Yeah.
And it was around that year, so yeah.
And what had happened was, for some completely unrelated reasons, on the Game FAQ's website, I happened to... For no reason at all, I hadn't even been playing it, I cruised over to the Final Fantasy VII message board section. I don't know why. Again, you know, Final Fantasy VII had been out forever. I think this game had been pretty much thoroughly deconstructed at this point. I had really nothing else to learn or gain, but I went there.
2002, that's 5 years after it came out. So.
And, you know, Vice City had just come out. That's probably what I was playing. But I went there, and one of the top posts I saw on there was some kid had, was it Yahoo Chat?
I think it was MSN.
MSN Messenger chat room about Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
And it was, I think this kid, I always say he's a kid. I think he was like 11 or something.
I have no idea. There's complete random people.
But there were like five people in this thing. And so I signed in and I joined. I forget, I don't even remember what my MSN Messenger name was at this point. For some reason I had it and I signed in. And I wanted to talk about Final Fantasy VII on the Messenger. And we met up, we were in this message board. And like every young kid, I guess, one of the first things he had asked is, you know, I think it was ASL. He wanted to know where we were and who the fuck we, because I think it was like one of his first times on the internet, maybe. I don't know. This is how I explain it to myself. So I tell him, you know, I'm whatever, however old I was, and I was a dude, and I was living...
maybe 19.
Yeah.
It was like a year out of high school.
Yeah, it was very early on.
A long time ago.
19 or 20. Yeah, maybe even 18, because if Vice City was out, I had just graduated. So, and I was like, I'm Kyle, I'm a dude, I'm in Bedford, Indiana. And amazingly enough, Nathan was also in this exact same chat room. And he was like, he's like, wait a minute. Bedford, Indiana? And I was like, yeah.
I thought it was somebody fucking with me. I was like, wait, did they track me somehow?
He thought somebody had like hacked in and figured out where he lived and was trying to mess with him.
You're getting catfished.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Let me just say that even back then, the likelihood of me bothering to go to a Final Fantasy VII message board and also take part in this ridiculous activity of getting on MSN Messenger and chatting with complete strangers.
Completely out of character for the both of us.
I would never do that. I would definitely not do it now.
Yeah.
But even back then, it was unlikely.
And it was probably like 1 in the morning, maybe. Yeah. Maybe 1 or 2, you know. Hmm. I could have been jerking off, but I was doing this instead, and so was he.
I was after I found out you were in there.
Well, you have a friendship to show for it now.
Yeah.
Instead of some dirty tissues. And
I still have them.
So
you still have those dirty tissues?
For all these years.
So Nathan picks up on this, and he starts asking me questions, because at this point he does think that I've somehow figured out that he's in Bedford and I'm fucking with him.
Yeah, so I don't really know shit about the internet or anything. So as far as I knew, I mean, you know, beyond generic shit that everyone knows, but yeah. Like, I was like, all right, what's going on here? Is this guy like,
and you had also
stalking me or what?
You had yourself just recently moved to Bedford with your family.
It was within like 6 months before that.
You hadn't been there very long.
Year, probably.
So we're talking and he asked me, you know, where I live, and I tell him I live out by Walmart. And he tells, and I'm like, so where do you live in Bedford? And he's like, well, I actually live over by this place called Tarver's Flower Shop. And that was the second ding, because holy fuck, I grew up right next door to Tarver's Flower Shop. And we rented our house from Ray Tarver.
Oh, I forgot about this, actually.
And so Nathan is like, oh yeah, we rent from these people called the Tarvers. And I was like, well, fuck, like, I grew up on like 1911 I Street, and you were at like 1913?
I don't remember but yeah, I was like.
But basically, it was my house that I grew up in, then the flower shop, and then Nathan lived at the very next door house.
Two houses down.
Yeah.
It was
such a weird fucking coincidence. And I was like, dude, this is blowing my mind. And
it's pretty incredible that you guys were so close, yet never connected until this Final Fantasy VII.
And absolutely, had this not happened, it's very likely Nathan and I would never have encountered each other, because we don't have any friends in common. He didn't know anybody.
I almost never leave the house.
Yeah.
So I would never know you.
I support that. I wouldn't leave the house if I didn't have to.
So it's just one of these, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet star-crossed lovers type of thing.
Which is definitely like, the relationship you want to use for a friendship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're like Romeo and Juliet.
We haven't
killed ourselves yet.
No. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a downer ending.
We'll see how the night goes.
When one of our families tries to keep us apart, that's when the suicide pills come out.
You know, I always thought your mom didn't like me very much, so that could be a thing.
Oh, man, my mom loves you. I don't know why you thought that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, my mom absolutely
loves
Nathan.
I know she
Nathan.
Thinks I'm a fucking creep, but she's right. So.
I was
telling good
you
reason
guys,
to think that.
You know? I was just telling, it was actually funny. So that ends the story of how we met. We were still a little standoffish. We met at a Burger King. And I had gotten food,
that's right.
And I remember, like, I was sitting there eating a burger, and Nathan comes up and knocks on my window, and I was terrified. I'm like, oh, God.
Why were you eating a burger in your car?
Because I was waiting. We were going to meet at Burger King.
Yeah, that's right.
But this was before cell phones were prevalent.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't have one, though.
And so he just walked up and knocked on my window, and I was like, oh. And then I rolled it down, and I was like, hey, are you Nathan? He's like, yeah. Are you Kyle? I was like, yeah, man. So
I actually ask you if it was. I mean, I would think I would.
Yeah,
pretty much. Well, know as soon as you asked.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't remember how that meeting. But then we went back to my house and hung out. And I remember you played Kingdom Hearts, and I watched you play Kingdom Hearts.
I don't even actually like Kingdom Hearts that much.
No, but you did the Sephiroth fight for me because I hadn't gotten to there.
I did like the first one. I thought it was all right. But
I hadn't got to that point yet, but you had. So I watched that, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So
yeah,
I think a couple of other people you knew came over.
I think Biggie came over. I remember that.
That's
you
right.
You met Biggie. And then I took you to Nick's house.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Does he listen to this show?
No, I don't think yet. I keep badgering him, too. But if he does, fuck you, Nick. You little bitch.
It's a good way to keep him.
Yeah.
Continue listening.
Yeah. But it's funny because I'd actually talked about you yesterday in the car because we were talking about your friend, I believe, whose mom would watch the same movie. Or was that Tyler? Yeah, it was Tyler. He went to the Indian kid's house, and his mom was always watching.
That's Tyler.
So the Treasure Island made for TV movie.
No, the Treasure Island TV movie was my stepmother.
Okay, so that was you.
But The Indian was something else where that's all they were watching at that
point. But you've seen that one movie a lot because that's what your stepmom liked.
No, is it my stepmom or my mother-in-law?
I can't remember.
It's mother-in-law.
Okay.
It's
you
Laura's
told the story,
mother.
Dude. I don't remember. I zoned out.
Oh, it's just, it's like a holiday thing. She brings it out. It's her favorite thing in the world.
Well, and like I was saying, you know, I don't know any other person in the world that has seen the movie Anaconda more times than your mom, Nathan.
Yeah, she's a big, I haven't seen her watch it in quite some time, but yeah, she's watched it a pretty fair amount of times.
Yeah, like it used to be almost every time I would come to your house, I was like, oh, watching Anaconda
into,
again?
That's crazy.
She gets into certain movies, and that'll be all she watches for like months.
Didn't you say she also really liked Congo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a theme there.
I actually love Congo.
Man, I hate Congo. Congo's terrible.
You know why I like Congo so much?
Why?
Because when I was a kid, you know, like everyone else, I liked Jurassic Park, and I saw a commercial for Congo, and it was like from the writer of Jurassic Park, and me being like 12, I was like, well,
that's gotta mean gotta great
be
shit.
As, gotta be as good as Jurassic Park, right? He wrote it. So I went and watched it, and I was like, well, that movie was shit. But
God. Even as a child, you knew it was shit.
I actually liked it. I mean, Bruce Campbell gets murdered by apes in it, so that's kind of cool, I guess.
I didn't remember that Bruce Campbell was in there.
Yeah, he's in it for like 5 minutes. Wow. He's, I don't know if you remember the plot of the movie that much, but he's the
bad
son
gorillas.
Of the.
There's one good gorilla and a lot of bad gorillas, and they have like sound. Field or something.
I know the good gorilla can speak with her little hand,
yes.
Like Stephen Hawking machine.
Yeah.
But,
Amy,
yeah,
the good gorilla.
Right. So
I don't know why I remember that.
That's a pull. That is a.
I actually knew, but I was too embarrassed.
Nice. There you go.
It's also got Ernie Hudson in it.
Yeah, he's like the hero of the movie.
Ernie. Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him. But
the one Ghostbuster nobody cared about.
Yeah. And
finally getting his chance to shine in the Congo.
If you look at any of the old games that Ghostbusters is based on.
Ernie Hudson's never there.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's kind of a stereotype that the Japanese are like super racist.
Oh,
Can you be stereotypically racist? I don't know. Anyway.
It's a stereotype that you are racist.
Yeah,
I think
like, that
works. That
a thing? Like, I don't know. But either way, he's never in it.
Yeah.
In the games, which I always thought was funny in a kind of bad way. But.
Yeah, that's backwards.
Let's
just frown upon that and move on. Let's
you guys don't
cover that
dissect,
dark period.
You don't want to dissect this.
You
want to
get
problem.
Super race heavy?
I mean, here we go. Let's have a super racial talk about Japanese Ghostbuster games.
Look,
I'm in.
Look, guys, I came here to discuss the issues plaguing us today.
And that's racism.
And that's racism
and in NES games.
Nintendo video games.
Well, so, I mean, we did bring you here for a reason, and that reason is we wanted to talk about Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Force Awakens.
It was a big...
Oh, that one, okay.
It was a big moment, I think.
We lied. We're just going to talk about Phantom Menace all over again.
We hadn't had new Star Wars.
I would be up for that, honestly.
Man,
sorry.
No, we're never talking about it again. We did a whole episode on those fucking... God, no.
Actually, I don't want to interrupt, but...
Go for it.
Like,
yeah. That's we're on tangents. We ramble so bad.
Well, you know, everybody knows the prequel. I mean, I don't think that needs to be repeated at this point. But, like, am I the only one that thinks Episode 2 is, like, legit one of the worst movies?
He hates that
one. I hate Episode 2.
Because Episode 1, I don't like it either, but, like...
We came to the agreement that 2 is the worst one.
2 is the worst. Two's... I just prefer watching over Phantom Menace because it is so bad, it becomes entertaining.
I don't think 2 is just a bad Star Wars movie. Like, I actually think it's one of my least favorite films.
It's really terrible. And it's so long.
Yeah, like it...
It's the longest of the three.
Because at least Phantom Menace flows along somewhat well. But that one is just like... I've seen Episode 2 several times at this point in my life, and I couldn't... Mm. I'd have to really sit and think about what happens in that movie, honestly. Yeah. Like,
the pacing's horrible. The story is just scattershot and all over the place. It is. It is the prototypical middle movie, if ever there was one. If you're like, trilogies aren't good because the second one is always weak, you point to Attack of the Clones because that's one of the worst examples of a middle installment there is.
While also being part of a franchise that has probably the best example of that ever.
That's true. That's a very good point, yeah.
Although, you know, we know the difference being that someone didn't direct one of those movies.
Yep.
Episode 7 was big news because there hadn't been a new Star Wars since those three god-awful prequels, which are
2005
at this point
one.
Universally loathed. Like,
That's not true.
I'm waiting for the hipster movement.
Man,
of like,
I think it's there.
Prequels are actually good.
It's there. The hipster movement's there.
Is it already
I went
here?
Into the local video store.
Oh, Jesus.
And one of the clerks there, who I know, and we were talking, had recently said, "I don't get the old Star Wars. They look so bad. The puppets are horrible. I much prefer like the fast choreography of the lightsabers and the prequels.
Dude, and that,
this, the action so much better, which I blows my fucking mind.
It's terrible.
That's like an immediate sign that like I don't need to take this person like, from ever again, I ever did.
The lightsaber fights in the prequels are like one of the worst parts about it, because again, you know, we've went over this a billion times, but there's no fucking weight in them. I don't care about what's happening there. Especially, you can't even really tell what's happening. It's like seeing the new Transformers movies. There's so much going on, you can't figure out what the fuck is happening.
Lucas really wanted to pack the frame with as much effect as he could.
I remember when I saw them back in the day, I remember thinking, like, oh, Darth Maul, he's pretty cool. But
the Darth Maul fight that didn't have this stupid flippy floppy jumping around off a ceiling shit that is prevalent in 2 and 3. Like,
it's not as bad, but it's there. Like, I'd argue Ray Parks does do some somersaults and flips and stuff.
Yeah, and they're unneeded, but they look cool. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
You know, this has been said probably countless amount of times in the past already, but like, the thing about those scenes, especially in episode 1, is like, you got one character that we know because he was in the old movies. That's all. If he wasn't in, if he was a new character, you wouldn't know shit about Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Qui-Gon is exactly that. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? Like, he has the most bare bones character, you know, and like Darth Maul has no character.
Yeah.
And now suddenly they're fighting and you're supposed to care about what happens to them. And it's like, I couldn't give a shit less about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to get bogged down in all this prequel shit though, because we've been here. We've treaded this.
Well, I was actually going to,
I actually think it needs to be said, because it's how you talk about episode 7 is,
yeah, it does. It is hard to talk about one without at least thinking, especially since it's so new, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually do have a point for talking about the prequels, though. It's that because of those, now, probably like you guys too, I'm guessing, I've been a fan of the original trilogy for most of my life at this point. It's sort of a thing where, like, when I heard they were making a new one, I was like, all right, it might be cool, but I'm not going to go into this one with the same kind of, I guess, fervor.
And you're referring to episode 7 at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, I was like, I'm excited, you know, because there's part of me that's always going to get excited for one of these stupid movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like there's just nothing you can do about it, you know? But now it's just like, I'm not going to treat this like some kind of cultural event like it has been. I'm going to just go into it as a film. You know what I mean? Because I don't actually, I love Star Wars, I love the original movies, but I don't really care about the expanded universe or the cartoons. I've been reading the Marvel comics here a little bit. They're pretty good. But, like, outside of a few cases, I'm not really into that. I just care about the movies pretty much. I was like, I'm just going to go into this, keep the fanboy gushing to a minimum, and just look at it for what it is. You know? Mm-hmm. I feel like I was actually pretty successful at that, and I still love the movies, so I think that's a
indicator. So you come down on the side, you do enjoy episode 7.
I loved episode 7.
I loved it too, honestly. Man. I thought it did everything it needed to do. It totally made up for the prequels, which is what it had to do right out of the gate, was just be like, all right, we're not really going to acknowledge this. Like, they happened, and we're sorry. Here's what you should have had.
It makes for an awkward, like, I guess, like, when you're watching it, you're like, oh, but that stuff still happened, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's still technically part of this, you know? I wouldn't be shocked if they remade them someday, honestly. Like, I think it...
Oh, I hope they don't.
I would prefer if they didn't.
Yeah,
but
just let it die.
But
continue.
It is Disney. They're already talking about how they want, like, 5 new movies in the next 5 years or whatever.
And that's cool. Like, what I like about it is that, you know, they're going to really get into that expanded universe. Like, I think the next one is... What is it?
It's Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Isn't that the one where they, like, are stealing the...
Yes.
The Death Star planes?
Yeah, it comes before episode 4 and after Revenge of the Sith. So it's like this weird one-off time travel thing.
I know, you know, as much as we do talk shit about him, I know Zack Snyder has shown interest in wanting to do a Seven Samurai sort of story with Jedi, and that could be really cool.
I like the idea.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of Zack Snyder helming that, per se.
I think he should direct it.
Yeah?
I think if somebody writes the story, that's my issue. I don't want Snyder involved with the story.
I'd probably see it, but like I said, I don't think it necessarily needs the fleshing out that they're going to do to it. And I think it kind of takes away from things if you overdo. I mean, you know, they're just like the Marvel movies. Those, that's a little more understandable because it comes from a medium that is just
so dense.
Yeah, and like with Star Wars, it kind of feels like something like, oh shit, there's a new Star Wars movie out. You know, that's like a big deal. You know, and And now I feel like I'm worried that it's just going to become a thing like, oh boy, there's another Star Wars movie out. And
I'm not too worried about
it. Yeah, I mean, as long as there's still high quality.
I'm not saying it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of worried about that sort of thing. But they definitely seem to care about making them good, at least, mm-hmm. which is a plus.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? They said they wanted to do like a Han Solo movie.
There's a young Han Solo movie.
See, that's the one I don't really care for because, as far as I'm concerned, like.
Especially, they started like talking about casting and they're thinking like Miles Teller and these names that are like kind of already big. And it's like Miles Teller is like, he was Whiplash.
Okay. At least he's a good actor. But is he young Harrison Ford?
Yeah, but look at him and do you think like, oh, that's Han Solo? It's like, he was in that cool
Fantastic Four movie.
I haven't
actually seen that. I shouldn't talk shit, but.
You don't need to see it. You know it's garbage.
I almost read it. And it is garbage.
I almost read it.
Compared to the other ones, what is the worst Fantastic Four?
This one is.
That one is.
I preferred the Jessica Alba one.
Wow, because those were terrible.
Well, you know. Before that movie came out, I read a thing. What's the guy that directed its name? Josh
Trank, who did Chronicle.
Yeah, which that was a cool movie, I thought.
Yeah.
But I remember reading, though, that he said, like, basically he wanted to do Fantastic Four, but give it, like, this weird Cronenberg body mm-hmm. horror style, which I was like, that sounds fucking cool.
It does not fit
the tone of the Fantastic Four, but that could be a good thing. That sounds awesome, you know, because I'm a big Cronenberg fan, you know. The idea that someone would take that spin on it, I was like, that's a ballsy move for something like that.
Yeah, you have them develop their powers kind of like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
Yeah.
I'm into that. But
I knew it wouldn't be like gory like that, but just the fact that it would show like mm-hmm. what stretching would probably actually do to your body or what turned into a giant rock man or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and there's all of like 3 minutes of that, and then they fast forward to 2 years later after they have their powers under control.
Well, and I think what it is too,
terrible.
Fantastic Four suffers from, you know, it's another one of those movies with incredible studio involvement coming in and trying to change and not understanding what needs to be done and letting the director have the vision and see that through and focus grouping this shit. Mm-hmm. Like
it's kind of a double-edged thing because. You need to find a middle ground there between creative freedom and reining someone in. Because if you let a creative person have a budget of $100 million and just tell them to do whatever the hell they want, it could go good
but then it could go very badly.
It can't go bad. But see, I think that's exactly what happened with Episode 7. Like, J.J. Abrams was like, I'll do this, but I want to do this the way I see it. And Disney was finally like, okay. Here you go. Make Star Wars.
Well, this one worked out. And I promise I'm not going to keep tying everything back to the prequels, but like that was the issue with the prequels, too, was George Lucas had way too much control.
Well, and George Lucas doesn't have a no-man. Yeah. And he didn't have his wife, who was his script editor anymore.
He had a lot of them back in the 70s. Yeah. He had no man. Or did not have a no-man.
So I think some studios say is a good thing.
It can be, yeah.
But remember when we watched Joe Dorowsky's Dune?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as awesome as that movie sounded like it would have been, if you gave that guy a budget and let him do whatever that movie would have been a fucking disaster.
It would not have been.
It would not have been what he was saying it was. Yeah.
No, it would have been.
Yeah, I think it would have been a really cool movie.
It would have been John Carter of Mars 30 years ago, and nobody would have gone.
I don't know. I think Jodorowsky has a little more going on for him than whoever directed John Carter.
Then it would have done worse than John Carter.
It probably
would have people
done,
don't
it
like
it would have
art.
Been like it probably would have ended up like The Thing, whereas like it was universally panned when it came out and nobody hated it. And it didn't really get discovered till years later when people were like, why did everybody hate this? Is amazing. I think it would have been one of those type of things.
Well, they say, you know, if it's true that like, you know, a lot of the design elements from that movie ended up in Alien and even Star Wars for that matter and tons of other shit. And of course, they did go on and make a Dune movie, but I've never actually seen it. I heard it was pretty terrible.
It's pretty bad.
That's what I've heard.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Like, it's Cronenberg, right?
It's David Lynch.
It's Lynch. That's what it is. It's not David Cronenberg.
Again, why are you having David Lynch direct that? Like,
George Lucas wanted him to direct Return of the Jedi. He had meetings with him and stuff.
That would have been weird as hell, too.
There's a YouTube video you can find, some speaking thing that he was doing. And, they're just Q&A, I guess, would be the term. But somebody asked him about it, and he tells the story of, like, going to, Marin County, where Lucasfilm was or is.
Mm-hmm.
And just having George Lucas explain all this shit to him. He doesn't know anything about Star Wars, apparently. So he's like, now this is a Wookiee, and he does this, and blah, blah. Lynch is just like, I just started getting the worst headache of my life. And like,
oh, that's pretty great.
That was a pretty good George Lucas impression, by the way.
Yeah, this is a Wookiee. I'm waving my arms around. Of course, you guys can't see.
In a Wookiee-esque manner, yeah. Let's come, I want to, you know, this will be my job, is to keep reining this thing back in. Let's get back on Seven. So,
yeah.
I guess at Brad this point, we hadn't really Morgan talked Freeman. About this.
What's in the box?
You had a...
What's in the box?
I guess we hadn't really talked about this, Nathan, because I was kind of under the impression that you didn't really like this movie. But you had said you had some things to say about Kylo Ren as a character.
Well...
Oh, are we just going to jump straight to Kylo Ren?
Well, I mean, we can just bumble around. All I don't right. want to do it in order, really.
It's just kind of a possibly interesting thing that I did. I was at Target or something one day a few weeks before the movie came out, and as a 32-year-old man, I decided to look at the Star Wars toys.
I've been there
many
times.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
So,
I may have been there earlier tonight.
I didn't buy any. I'm not actually, just to let everybody know, but if you care. But I was looking at him because I was seeing what kind of designs it would have in the movie, you know, and I saw Kylo Ren and I was like, or a picture of him on one of the boxes or something, you know, and I was like, there's something about this guy. I just could kind of tell just by how he looked, like when he's got the hood over his head, it's like, it looks really big and he just looks like he's trying too hard. I don't know what made me think that, but I was like, something about this guy just doesn't seem like he's going to be what we're supposed to think he is. Because he's, you know, when you saw images of him prior to the movie, it's like, oh, he's Darth Vader 2.0 or whatever.
Yeah, Darth Vader fanboy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, this guy is, I just feel like he's trying too hard here. And I don't know why I thought that, but I kind of ended up being true. Because that's almost exactly what he is, you know. He's just like all, you know, image, basically. He wants to be, you know, they even say in the movie, you're terrified that you're not going to be Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Ever. And so, I mean, it's been said before, but he was what I think what Anakin probably was supposed to have been.
Supposed to be,
would
yeah.
have been.
Absolutely.
Written well, you know, so.
He handles the complexity of dealing with the light and the dark side much, much, much better.
Yeah.
And just like the short time he has here as opposed to Anakin over those two movies.
And still coming off as like kind of a whiny asshole, but not in like a annoying way, if that's possible.
And it's crazy because, you know. I like the Kylo Ren character a lot. Like,
oh, I thought he was the best new character of the movie.
He was my favorite.
No, not my favorite.
Who'd you
but
like?
Daisy. Or Rey.
Yeah. Rey. I like Rey a lot, too.
Ridley, she's great. All into now.
She was great in all of her performance. Like, my favorite is when Han Solo's talking about Luke Skywalker, and she just gets this look on her face of amazement. She's like, the Luke Skywalker? Like, that whole little thing. I really like that. And it was just a nice little, I don't know. She had great energy.
She did. Her reactions, her facial acting was the best.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite thing she did, and this is such a small detail, but it's when Han Solo and Chewie finally get back on the Falcon with her and Finn. She's fixing one of the ports that she and Han Solo was like, oh, they shouldn't have done this. And she was like, I know, that's what I said. And she fixes that, and she's like, I fixed it. And she's like waiting for his approval. That doesn't happen. And he just like, okay. And he flies on, and just like her face, there's like a twinge movement where you can see like the disappointment settling in. And it's just like a really small acting thing that I really appreciate that she does.
Yeah, those two characters together was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you could say like...
Finn and...
Or
Rey,
no,
Rey
Han Solo and Rey. Their dynamic, like the kind of, I mean, even though it happened like super fast, their whole kind of father-daughter type, if you want to even call it that, I don't know, but father figure, I guess.
Yeah, he was a father figure,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and like, that was nice, and, Rey and, what's his name?
Finn?
Finn, yeah.
I liked Finn a lot. Like, compared to the prequel, like, I loved every new character that Episode 7 introduced. I thought they were all fucking great. I loved Poe Dameron. He's going to be a great addition.
Yeah. That's my biggest complaint with the new characters is I wish there was more.
Of course,
of them.
Yeah.
And well, that's a good thing. They left me wanting more.
My theory, you know, I'm imagining, I think Finn is going to move into the new Han Solo area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because spoilers, Han Solo totally died in this movie, which I think is for the best. But I see Finn going there. Some people think Poe, but I think they were setting up the relationship between Chewie and Finn early in the movie for a reason, and he gets... posed jacket, which also lends to that, you know, he's the, sort of the outsider now. He's coming from the Empire, so
yeah,
he's going to be on the outside looking in sort of thing, which is always Han Solo's aspect. So
I mean, Poe kind of comes off more as like a, what's his name, from Wedge? Or,
yeah.
Yeah, Wedge.
Mm-hmm. Antilles.
Because he's not, I mean, I think he'll be a more major character than that, but I don't think he'll be like front and center.
He strikes me as like a Lando type.
Yeah.
Like, kind of on the background, the periphery, but when he comes, he has, like, swagger and style and just, like, so much charisma that he captivates you. I get Lando.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if he was in it more. He's a really cool character, but, yeah, I don't see him taking, like, you know, center stage at any point.
I think he will be a big part. I mean, he is the Republic's absolute best pilot that's stated multiple times through the movie. He will have big parts in all the...
I do think he'll be a big
whatever attack,
part as well.
You know, when they attack the even bigger Death Star in Episode 8.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't hire Oscar Isaac after the year and, like, the last few years he's been having for just, like, a small bit part. Like,
he's blowing
up. I'm sure he'll have a bigger part later.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in X-Men.
Who's he playing in X-Men?
Oh, God damn, he's Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Oh, he's Apocalypse? Like, in the makeup or just voice?
Yeah, no, he's got, like, the blue and voice. Face and everything.
Wow. See, I didn't know this. God damn.
See, they posted pictures of him in the makeup, and he just looked... Somebody was saying he looked like, who's the guy from the Power Rangers?
Ivan Ooze.
Yeah.
And I see that. He
did resemble
him,
but I saw this other picture online that supposedly leaked from somewhere, and he had like the, you know, Apocalypse with the lips upside that go up along the side.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real. It could have been just what somebody thought he should have looked like, which, if that's the case, I kind of agree with him because he looked awesome. He looked all right, though. I don't really care. I'm not like a hardcore stickler for, oh, it's got to be just like the book.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give people.
It's kind of an obnoxious personality trait, I think.
Yep. You got to have some leeway.
It's like they're different mediums. They're going to not always be the same.
So what did you think of Leia in this movie?
Yeah, she was there.
I think she was the weakest part of the movie.
She was there, but surprisingly, she did a good job for being Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Because seeing her in the interviews before, I was super worried that she was going to be just coked out and incomprehensible.
She doesn't do coke anymore, but she's fried from all the years.
Or there
coke
you go,
abuse.
Yeah.
Like,
so
she was fine. I mean, I was indifferent to her. I mean, it was cool to see her in the movie, and like, especially when it's her and 3PO appearing at the basically the same time. So that was like a.
And then they also hit you with Leia's theme, which was really nice.
Yeah, I like seeing her there. I don't know if she'll die in these movies, but I don't think she's going to be a major part of them at any point.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll die. I don't think there's any need to kill off any more older characters. Like, the point's been made.
Han Solo was a big enough
death
that it's, like, jarring enough to where you're like...
And really, they killed off Han Solo because Harrison Ford wanted it. He didn't
want to be done.
He's, like, 150 years
he's
old.
He's like, you know, I'll come back and
do
this.
These fucking movies anymore.
But you got to kill Han Solo.
They're like, well, we'll give you a giant bag of money if you come and do this. And he's like, okay.
He didn't make the most out of everybody on the movie.
He did very, very well. I think that should be said about Harrison Ford, is he showed up and he was Han Solo. It wasn't 70-year-old Harrison Ford being Harrison Ford. Because that's what he was in, you guys, I'm sure, have seen, like, the last Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that wasn't Indiana Jones. That was Harrison Ford cashing a paycheck looking tired.
Yeah.
And I was a little worried that might happen here, but I really think he showed up with his A-game.
I love the part when the two warring bounty hunters come in, and he's arguing with them both. That was just perfect Han Solo right there.
He's got a really great Han Solo line in that scene where he's like, you've ripped me off twice now or something like that. And he's like, well, when was the second time? You know, he's like, he's admitting that he's done it.
Yeah.
He's just like trying to dispute the second one.
That's a good line.
He's like, well, what happened the second time? Like, oh,
yeah.
That was a weird scene. Like when those, I mean, not a bad one, but it was kind of, I wasn't expecting
the Raxar.
Like, these big tentacle monsters.
Yeah. That was a little bit...
These big monsters that eat everybody as soon as they grab them, except Finn?
Yeah. Maybe it was full. I don't know. I was just hoping for some good hentai there. And I almost left the movie, honestly, after that.
Just walk out.
Perfect opportunity.
Throw your popcorn up in the air. So
some tentacle on Chewbacca action.
Whatever, you know. I'm sure it exists. I'm sure someone's
made
it by now.
Don't Google that. Just listener, don't Google that.
Raxar.
Raxar. Oh, no.
So have you seen it twice yet? I've seen it twice. You have seen it twice. Okay. Did you like it better your second time?
Much better.
Yeah, I did too. I think the first time I saw it, I was like you, Nathan. I tried to not get hyped, but I couldn't help it. And I was, he's sitting at the movie. I was just so amped and just, I missed a lot, I guess. And so I really enjoyed it my second time through, just being able to watch the movie and take it for what it was.
It's hard to judge it just seeing it the first time if you are a fan, I think, because it does, it pulls all those strings. I mean, it's.
Yeah, dude, it hits everything.
You could make the argument that it's absolutely a product. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable one, don't get me wrong, but it is designed in a super specific way to. Mm-hmm. Do what it did.
Basically. Well, it has to provoke the feelings of the past and ignore the feelings of the prequels. So, like, we do Jakku is a desert planet akin to Tatooine, and on the Tatooine you see, like, AT-ATs and AT-ST.
That was one of my favorite parts. Down. The Me old too. Direct, like, you know, machinery and everything, the ships. That was really cool. It looked amazing.
That's one thing I love that this movie does so well is the visual storytelling. Because Lucas does none of that in the prequels. There's a shot, it's in the trailers, maybe, I think, where Rey is in an AT-AT. Like, there's a downed AT-AT in the sand, and she's using it as a makeshift home. And you see, like, her writing numbers on the wall for how many days she's been there. Mm-hmm. And she has, like, a little toy in the corner that she's made of pieces that's, like, an X-Wing fighter. And then she goes outside of the AT-AT to eat her lunch, and she puts on a little fighter helmet and watches, like, the ships fly away. No dialogue. We get backstory. So much backstory for a character and backstory for this planet and this universe. Like, something bad has happened to the Empire. They're shambles. And it's all done through, like, a one-minute scene with no dialogue.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
There's another scene like that, similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
When she's cleaning this part, I guess, that she got, and she, you know, it's a... Not even a subtle thing necessarily, but like she looks over and sees this old ass lady, looks like she's 1,000 years old, you know, and just kind of gives her this look like that's going to be me, you know, and if it were Lucas doing this, he wouldn't even have had that scene probably. But if he did, she would have stopped and told whoever that, like, oh, I just know I'm going to be here forever, and then give some melodramatic monologue about it. You know,
and then she would have
explicitly say her feelings.
You didn't have to say it. You know exactly what she's thinking.
And that old lady would have turned into a CGI machine and done a big song and dance number.
And then pod racing happens.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. I liked all that, like you were saying, all the wrecked machines and just the, I mean, Jakku, that reminds me, there was a scene, and this was like an old Star Wars thing to me, but when BB-8, he's leaving, or he's getting away from where they attacked, and he's going through, it's like the middle of the night or whatever, and this, like, little weird football head shape
pops up and looks
at
him.
He's just like, all right.
Yeah, you know, again,
just,
that's another,
he just goes back down. It's like, that's such, like, a, I mean, maybe it's maybe not specifically a Star Wars thing, but, like,
that's an original
trilogy thing.
Absolutely.
It's just like, what the fuck is this thing? I don't know, but it's there. And then you never even see it again. There's no reference to it. There doesn't need to be one because it's like the cantina scene in 4.
Yeah, they just want to show you all these weird aliens.
Like, and of course, Luke is kind of your stand-in in that scene because he's like, he walks in, he's like, I don't know what any of this shit is, and neither do you. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine it was even more amplified back then because, you know.
You had never seen anything like that in the 70s. Yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
Coming up on, you know, just diverging, I really, really enjoyed BB-8.
Like, he was good.
Yeah. He was exactly what...
I unironically, unapologetically love BB-8.
He's exactly what R2-D2 was to me as a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, diverging on this tangent, Episode 7 was the absolute perfect version of a movie that you make for kids and adults.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to love this movie. Adults in the exact same way are going to love this movie. It doesn't...
One would say it almost felt like a Disney film.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that because it was a Disney film.
You know, that's why I did say
Star Wars isn't for kids. It's for jaded old men.
Well, but
like
see,
me.
Like, Lucas really tried to push the prequels, especially, as being more towards kids.
Yeah. Yeah, except for the third one where he decided to go darker all of a sudden. And we're going to murder kids. Yeah.
But episode seven is, as when we left the theater the first time, I think that's one of the first things I said. I was like, that's how you make a movie for kids and adults. Because that hits everything that you want it to. And BB-8 is a big part of that because I loved everything that he does. I love when, you know, Finn is trying to get him to tell him where the base is.
Please, droid.
And then he does it and Finn gives him the thumbs up and he pops out that little lighter and does it. Dude, that's so perfect. I laugh so hard at that.
I love the roll in the ship and then like kind of like the R2-D2 type scream he makes.
Yeah.
And then they cut to him again doing the roll and then the four cables come out and he's able to catch himself.
He's like, it's not happening again.
It's such a good sight gag.
He filled in for R2 while not being... He has a different personality.
Exactly,
Or whatever you want to call it. But like, but he's not a clone of him.
No.
Well, sort of. But like, not really.
He evokes the same emotional response from you. But yeah, he has a different personality from
he
R2.
Seems he seems much, much more loyal than R2. Yeah. Like, I never got loyalty from R2-D2. I got sarcastic, kind of. But not loyal. R2 is always the one going off and fucking things up. Like, R2 ran off in the desert, Master Luke. Let's go catch him.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of an asshole. I thought BB-8 was much more personable.
R2 always knows more about what's happening than the audience does.
Yeah, that's the thing with R2, yeah.
So, and BB-8's kind of like that, too, to a lesser extent.
A little bit.
I think he's not quite as filled in, you know, but...
Yeah, I look forward to seeing more of him.
They serve the same role, basically, so...
I wonder who he's going to get partnered up with.
Who, BB-8?
Yeah.
Oh,
I wonder if he's going to run around with Finn and Chewbacca.
He's still at Leia's base, right?
Yeah, and like he's still with Poe. I mean, he is Poe's droid.
He's going to be in his X-Wing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he's with Poe. That's...
So, I mean, if we're going to get more BB-8, we're definitely going to have more of Poe, or they're going to murder Poe. And
I would... Maybe they do. I'd be very shocked if you brought in Oscar Isaac for that short bit just to kill him off. Maybe. But
yeah,
I'll be shocked.
I mean, it's not J.J. Abrams, so maybe they won't just do like shocking twist for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Not that I have a problem with J.J. Abrams. I like him a lot, actually. But
I thought he fucking murdered it with this movie. Like, I've always liked J.J. Abrams, but man, he did so good on Episode 7. He gave me what I wanted as a fan, and more that I didn't even know I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll share with you, Nathan, because Kyle already knows this, but like, I've seen the movie twice. And I've cried like three times, both times I've seen it. Like, I cry at the garbage line when they're running, and then you find out the garbage ship they're talking about is the Millennium Falcon. I cried.
Yeah.
Han Solo walks on the ship and he says the line that's in the trailer, everybody knows, the Chewie, we're home, fucking cry. Like, the final lightsaber battle, which I love, I think it's one of the best lightsaber battles. But when the lightsaber goes down into the dirt and Kylo is trying to get it, and then it just shoots past him into Rey's hand. Oh, my God. Fucking tears.
I didn't
tears
get tears, but I definitely got goosebumps both times I saw that scene. That was a really awesome scene.
You know, that could lead to another point here. Like, a lot of people say one of the complaints they have, and I think it's a pretty silly one personally, but they talk about how Rey is way too powerful for
she's a Mary
she's
Sue.
At. But it's like...
Yeah, and that's not
I feel
case.
Like it's kind of obvious that she's got some... weird past that we know nothing about. It's like, maybe, I mean, it seems like they're trying to set it up like she's already been trained.
Yeah, to a somewhat extent.
Yeah, like, that was my guess. It's like, well, and even if she wasn't, like, it's not that much of a stretch for her to be able to do what she did. The lightsaber fight scene, maybe, but he was also injured, like, pretty badly.
Yeah, he was severely injured.
I was talking about this with somebody.
And as you already said, he's kind of showing off. Like, he's putting on a show like he's the big bad, but he's
like
really
not.
Like,
when he walks up to kill him, he does that little twirl thing. Yeah. Like, he didn't need, you know, he's just being
like,
an asshole.
He practiced that, like, 30 times in his room by himself, but he doesn't have, like, maybe any real training.
But I think they also, maybe it was I don't know, this was kind of a theory that I had about it, at least, but, like, maybe they just didn't do a good enough job showing how injured he really was. Because they make it a point to show that crossbow that Chewie's got is, like,
it's
badass
powerful,
weapon.
Yeah.
It fucks
Han Solo's
everything
like,
up.
Hey, let me see that. And he shoots this guy, and he, like, blows flips. Up, goes flying.
I like this gun.
And he takes a shot to the hip and barely staggers.
Yeah, I
think
he was...
Well, he staggers, and he's, like, punching on it, like, several times.
I thought
fight.
He was doing that to make himself more angry and to tap more into the dark side, because he was losing.
Yeah.
And so pain leads to darkness.
Oh, okay.
That leads to that was my interpretation
that's
of that.
That's a good one. When I get hurt and I have a hurt, I hit it.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. That made sense to me. I was like, it's just pain. Like,
well, see, because of the fact that he hits it so much and it starts bleeding on the snow, I thought he was making himself angrier, tapping into that pain and trying to get more powerful from the dark side. That's the way I took it.
That's a much better interpretation, because I was just like, literally, they're playing to the cheap seats. Like, remember, he was shot, so it's a fair fight.
I kind of thought the same thing as Kyle, actually.
Okay,
like,
that's good. That gives the film much more credit than
I feel like that was probably supposed to be an injury that was way more severe than they kind of let on, and... Maybe they just didn't show that because people also say it about Finn. They're like, oh, well, how's this asshole able to do this? He's not even trained at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, he doesn't do a very good job. He manages to land one small hit, which was got to be because he was so injured.
He gets
and then he gets his ass beat immediately after
But he gets his ass kicked not only by Kylo Ren, but also by the dude with the electrical spinny baton thing, too. I mean, he doesn't beat that guy either.
Like, no.
The only thing Finn really does is and it's cool, he runs that one Stormtrooper troop with a saber.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was really awesome, and it was really brutal. And I was like, He's
not about the fight. Like, Finn's the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's the good intentions. But going back to the Rey having all the power, like, is it not just acceptable in the Star Wars universe to say, like, oh, well, this is a more powerful Jedi. Maybe they don't have to train as much. Like, you know, we can all be artists, but maybe, like, one of us is more talented and it just comes easier to some people. It's, like, I don't think that's, I don't know, out of the running for a logical argument.
I think that was another attempt to tie it back into episode four, because Luke never had, like, he blows up the Death Star, you know what I mean? He's just exceptionally talented.
All he'd done before that was Bullseye Womp Rat.
He didn't really do much training. Yeah. He just had that shade on.
Sorry, yes.
Shooting Womp Rats, Kyle.
Yeah, well, I said T-18, and Nathan corrected me into T-16. Yeah. You're correct. It was his T-16.
But yeah, like he's clearly, and he's a very talented Jedi from the start, and he goes to see Yoda. It's kind of vague on how long he's there, but I interpret it as maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
Tops.
I don't know. I would imagine longer the first time, but we don't really know.
There's no real way to know.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, it's like, well, Rey doesn't really do anything that crazy. She kind of already knows that the Force can influence your mind, even if she's not trained already, because Kylo Ren just did it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of implying that she's able to pick up these tricks that he's doing, like, immediately, which to me is what also suggests that she's already got some training.
Well, and she's not all powerful, because the first time she really encounters Kylo Ren, he totally freezes her with his force power. So, I mean,
it's a progression.
Yeah, she is able to later on block him from her mind.
There was no, like, setup for, oh, the Jedi are trained from the moment they're born. Mm-hmm. That was a prequel thing.
That is a very prequel notion.
Yeah, like, you go into the school and there's all the kids with their little lightsabers, that stupid scene. Yeah. And, like, it's like, what, you know.
What's weak, we can just pick that out. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, they have to be trained. Because, like, also Anakin Skywalker is, like, Jesus Christ, because his mom had, like, the Virgin Mary birth. Like, she had no father, just a magical pregnancy. And I don't know. I just don't think you can take any of that stuff as canon at this point. Apparently, even though it is canon.
Apparently there was a drop plot point for episode three where, I guess they still kind of imply it, but it was going to be made, like, clear that Palpatine was, like, basically the one that influenced the midichlorians or whatever be his dad. So he's technically his father. It's something that I'm so glad. Even George Lucas had the good sense to be like, nah, it's a...
Yeah, that sounds bad. Yeah, it sounds real bad.
I really liked the very beginning of this movie started off fantastic. You know, generally there's some big thing that happens at the beginning of every Star Wars.
Are you talking about that Max von Sydow line?
Well, not the line. What I really liked is when Kylo Ren shows up and Poe shoots at him, and Kylo stops that fucking bolt in midair and then just leaves it hanging for, like, that whole part of the scene. I love that. And
that was when I realized, like, my theory of him not being as powerful as I thought is probably not entirely accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, he stops it, and then he continues doing whatever else he's doing. And so, on a subconscious level, he's still holding that bolt with the Force and able to do other things. He's not just, like, focused on that the entire time. I thought that was a really cool touch. Yeah. And then he walks away, and the bolt shoots and blows up whatever it hits.
It's not only, like, a cool thematic shot. Like, it's a really awesome, like, wow, I didn't know, like, they could do that. Like, you've never seen that done before. But it's also shot really well, too, because I don't know if you guys see 3D movies very often.
I do know that I hang out with you a lot.
Because I do, And they're mostly, like, kind of flat. Like, they don't do much. But the way they did the 3D with that bolt was really cool, because the camera sweeps around it, and you see that bolt frozen in motion before it shoots off.
Well, when they do that scene, they're walking Poe towards him, and Poe is even looking at that bolt in disbelief. He's like, what the fuck?
I kind of thought the first time Kylo was going to bring him into it for some reason.
That's what, like, I thought, too. Like, he was going to...
the gunfire.
Not kill him with it, but, like, into his arm or something. Yeah. Like he did with the saber at the
end. I love that scene in the last saber fight. I was like, why does he have these fucking things here? And then the fact that they actually use them was really cool, because he just turns that exhaust port into Finn's shoulder. And fuck yeah, that would hurt like a bitch.
It worked.
One of the theory I had before the movie came out was that his saber was going to be Vader's, and it was just all busted up because of... And I guess that ended up not being true, but I... that's just kind of a random aside there.
What would have been neat, because he also has
he got Darth the mask. Vader's helmet. What made me think that. I was like, well, maybe his saber was so messed up that he had to rebuild it in this really janky looking way. Because they are like exhaust ports on the side.
That's what I've always assumed. Yeah, it's exhaust ports. Like. It's not a well-made saber.
And the saber's like really crackly and looks
it's
like
not
it's
a
not
smooth
working
blade.
Entirely.
It,
you know?
It ripples. I like that, you know, I don't hide it. My favorite part of the prequels has always been Darth Maul. I fucking love Darth Maul. But one thing, you know, Darth Maul has a very iconic lightsaber. Like, you think of Darth Maul, you think of that double-bladed red saber. And I like that with Kylo Ren, he also has a completely new and unique saber that you've never seen before. And it really, it's another way to just add some more character to it. Mm-hmm. It personifies a lightsaber. It gives it more than just a beam of light. Like, I really like that aspect.
It reflects his personality and emotional state.
Yeah.
It's like red and it looks evil, but it's like really kind of shaky.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, you don't get the
Great. It's a nice little subtle touch again.
And when I first saw, remember the first like teaser they released where this scene's not even actually in the movie.
No, I think it was just for the trailers.
Yeah, because he's walking out in the woods or whatever.
And he kicks it on.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, man, it looks like a broadsword or something. I wonder if he's going to have some really wild, like, you
super
know,
brutal.
Untrained, you know, which he kind of does.
Well, and, you know, it also makes sense because he is a member of the Knights of Ren, Knights broadsworded. It all kind of ties in there.
Briefly touched upon the movie. Like, you don't get much at all about the
I think that'll
of Ren,
be
like
a bigger factor in the upcoming movies, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like that and Luke's saber are possibly the only two in existence anymore. So if he did have to build it, it makes sense that
he wouldn't really know where the hell did Luke's saber come from? Because the last we saw of it, it fell off of Cloud City.
Maz Kanata had it.
Yeah, but how did she get it? Yeah. She says, like, or Han's like, where did you get that? And she's like, oh, I'll tell you some other time. Which
that's
obviously
a story
he's
for
never
going
to find out. But,
I would like to know how that happened, because that's the last thing we do see is it falling down that exhaust port into Cloud City, which...
You see Luke being like, oh, you didn't find a hand down there.
That makes more sense, because you could find, like, anything. Because it's like, oh, where'd it go? We don't know. So, like, you can make up a story pretty easily, as opposed to Darth Vader's burnt helmet on Endor. How did Kylo Ren get that? Did he go and murder a bunch of Ewoks to get this head from a fire somewhere?
I would fucking hope so.
I don't know. I had too much thought into that.
I think it'd be a good way to introduce Lando, probably.
Lando is coming in.
Yeah.
We do know that now. Yeah? Lando is coming in.
As long as they don't make Finn his son...
I don't.
Okay
I hope
that.
They don't do that.
If they
I'm kind of over the whole. We're all related to everyone in the
just
galaxy.
Bring Lando and I think I hope that they are bringing Lando in as like a Han stand-in because that's kind of what he was originally.
Yeah.
And now that Han's gone, I mean, he knows the Falcon. He knows Chewie. There's history there. Mm-hmm. I think that could work out really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody did a screenshot of the weird flashback or hallucination that she has when she touches the saber.
Yeah.
And there's like this hallway behind her, and someone did a screenshot of that and compared it to a scene from Empire, and it looks exactly like a hall from Cloud City.
Yeah.
So I can only assume that's got to tie into Lando somehow. You know what I mean?
Lando
would have had to have found it there. I mean, where else would it have come from?
Yeah, maybe Lando did retrieve it and he had it and gave it to Maz or whatever.
He had to get out of there pretty quickly, too. So I guess he could have gone back.
I think one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is the Millennium Falcon TIE Fighter chase scene. That whole scene is really well done.
When I saw it...
Yes, but there's like... I'll let you talk. I'm just going to put this out there. There's like the Matrix hand neck flip. There's like one little thing in there that really bugs me.
What is it?
All right, I'll go.
I'm
just going to let you string along that and then you can talk and I'll let that hang. When the gunner is kind of frozen in place and she has to maneuver the ship just right, stop the thrusters for the perfect shot for Finn to take, at that point, I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm out.
No, I love that part.
That
was the best part. She made it work.
It didn't bother me, but
it bothered me.
I could see how... I mean, it was pretty silly.
It's like away from, like, jumping on little robots and fighting a lava. Like, that's the next step.
I don't think that's the next step. Especially because she is... sensitive in the Force, it's helping set her up.
But
I mean,
talking about the progression of her character being weaker and getting stronger as the movie goes, that's very early on.
She had totally just flown that giant hunk of shit through a fucking burned out Destroyer.
All of which was not as unbelievable as that one scene.
I don't know. I liked that scene. I thought it was great.
I guess she didn't, because I was kind of curious about that scene. I wasn't clear if she had killed the engine specifically or they just died.
I think she did it on purpose.
Okay. See, I wasn't sure. But I think it would be actually cooler if the Falcon just happened to die at that moment because it's such a piece of shit. Because
it's a piece of garbage. Yeah, it's garbage.
The engines, she was just like, oh, fuck, you know, and then
they come
he
back
gets
on.
This perfect shot, right, you know, just all lines up. But, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but it didn't really.
I liked when she was flying it and she's like, this is so fucking hard to fly. And then Finn's like, yeah, you should try sitting in this seat.
Yeah.
Because it's all, like, wobbling him around.
Janky. Well, and then it's, like, the same exact layout from the 70s, too.
That's what I love, too. They didn't upgrade the fucking, all the technology. It was that same stuff.
When, what's his name? Poe Dameron is looking through his goggles. They're the same ones you see in, like, Empire.
Yeah.
When they're on Hawk.
It was such a nice little touch. They didn't have to get it fancy like they Lucas tried to do in the prequels, where it didn't make sense. It's why is like, there much more advanced technology back here?
It's kind of like in that Aliens game, the one that just came out. What was it?
Isolation.
Yeah, how they were just like, you know what? It doesn't make any sense for everything to be like flat screen LEDs or whatever. We're just going to have these
giant old CRT monitors.
Black and green monitors. And I never actually played that game, but from what I saw, it looked really good.
I played it, and it was very, very true to those movies. Nice. Like,
it seems like a great game that I have no interest in playing because I don't have the willpower to push through something like that where you just tense the
it's
entire
scary.
Time you
it,
play.
It gets you tense.
I just don't really like games where you run away and that's all you do. I've tried a few. Like, I tried Amnesia. Everybody's like, oh, you got to try it.
I didn't like Amnesia. I liked Alien because, you know, if you're a fan of Alien, you will like that game.
That was the only thing because I love the first Alien movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
You should play it like that.
I'll get it if it's like $10 one of these days. But anyway, what I was going to say about I think I was the one that kind of led us astray there. But the scene, you know, like the Falcon scene, I saw the movie up at the State Museum.
So you did IMAX.
The first time I saw it was just here at the AMC 12 there on 3rd. But, am I giving away our address?
That's
Somebody's going to come and find us.
You can find us at the AMC Showplace 12
We're there always. You might catch us one of these days. Just don't post my picture on here. But no.
We'll censor out like they do on Cops. You'll have like a giant blur.
It's a big black dot over my face. We drove up there to watch it, me and my roommate, and there's actually only one scene that's in 70mm, and it's that one. And it still looked amazing. You know, it's not like I'm complaining about that. But, like, apparently it's just super expensive to do effects and stuff on film like that, you know. So I don't know the ins and outs of it necessarily. But I mean, you know, you're watching it, and then it expands. It looked amazing, you know.
On that chase scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the only actual
one. That was the only one, huh?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Shit was an awesome scene, though, man. I loved that.
But seeing that, you know, we were talking about The Hateful Eight before the show started. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I really wish I could see that movie in 70mm because that looked incredible. But, you know, you were saying that it didn't really blow you away.
It didn't blow me away,
I think seeing all those big shots of, like, the snowy fields and... Mm-hmm. You know,
the first hour, it looks incredible. And
the opening
then they go
shot
to that set
with
location.
The Jesus statue.
Yeah.
I bet that would have looked really good. But
it
looked pretty damn good even on a regular screen. So I had no complaints as far as that goes. So,
So where do you guys place 7 overall?
I mean, I think I think I could probably speak for everyone when I say it's better than any of the prequels.
Absolutely.
That's where you're wrong. Attack of the Clones is the best.
Attack of the Clones is actually the best of all of them.
It is.
I mean, yeah, I think that doesn't even need to be mentioned, really. But I go back and I don't think it's better than 4 or 5. I like both of those better, but that might be in I legit think Empire Strikes Back is one of the best movies ever, not even just Star Wars. Like,
for me,
it's an incredible movie. So
for me, this ties up there with Empire. And I'm being completely honest, I enjoyed this movie so fucking much. Even because I maybe it's because I wasn't as hyped as I would have, and I didn't overhype it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I was completely blown away for every second of this movie. Both times that I saw it, it lived up to everything. Like I said, I wanted it to be and more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's better than Empire, but it's up there and it deserves the same respect as it, I feel.
I think it's hard to rank it. And if we're going to rank it, if I'm being forced, I rank along with Kyle.
No pun intended there.
I know. forced, yeah. I rank with Kyle. I think it's number 2 or maybe number 1 even.
Yeah,
it's with
it's
Empire.
Up there.
Wow. It's hard because Empire, New Hope, Return of the Jedi, these are movies I've lived with for 30 years. I've lived with The Force Awakens for
exactly
a month.
I want to know how well it will continue to play out.
And I think it might do good. And I think that's why I'm very excited, because usually, like, I can tell on a second screening, like, if I was way too hyped and the movie's not as good as I thought. It just got better.
Yeah,
and I think this
better.
Is a movie that's going to keep getting better with rewatching and with the new ones coming out. And I don't know. It's number two. Maybe number one.
My only complaint with 7 is there wasn't enough Luke. I mean, I get the whole movie is about finding Luke, but the fact that, like,
I kind of
like
that they didn't.
All you get is him turning around. Like, I mean, there's going to be obviously more Luke coming up.
Right. Because it, I mean, you know, it a scene like that where she goes and finds him, it really gives you a feeling of how it must have felt to see, like, The Empire Strikes back then, like in 1980 or whatever. Because it's like, man, I got to wait 3 years to find out what happens in this.
I mean,
two or whatever it was.
And it was also amazing that, you know, they went, nobody knew what the hell was happening with Luke before this movie came out. I heard so many people think that he was going dark side.
I did.
This guy especially.
I mean, we don't know that that's not the case. You know?
I still do.
I'll let you finish, but let's talk real quick about that Luke scene at the end and that fucking face acting he did.
Yeah.
Like, he says no words in this movie. He just shows up at the end,
except
and he gives this fucking look that's like, you don't know the shit I've been through. It could be good. He could still be bad. He did not seem like he wanted to be found, and that he did, I think, is going to be very interesting.
See,
on the look.
You go ahead, and then I'll interject.
Well, my thing about Luke being evil would be, like, we've kind of already covered that. You know what I mean?
With Anakin?
Well, not even that, with Luke himself, because we were just talking about, you know, which ones we liked the best out of all six of them, or all four of them, I guess. But and Return of the Jedi, you know, it gets a lot of shit but I actually like Return of the Jedi a lot. I'm sure I can say for all three of us that we all like that movie.
We rewatched them, I actually found myself liking Return a lot more than I had anticipated.
Well, Return of the Jedi.
It's still my least favorite of the three, but
it's got some issues, you know, but it does have one of my favorite scenes in probably any movie. And it's the scene where it's towards the end and they're in the Emperor's throne room and Luke's hiding from Vader and he's walking around just talking all sorts of shit to him, you know, and finally he hits that button, you know, he says, how about Leia, you know, I'll just find her if I can't get you. And Luke just fucking loses his shit and just this music kicks in and he's just like
wailing on
him hard. It's
definitely
that hard, angry,
you know,
hitting.
Tapping into the dark side at this point, at least, you know, if not fully kind of there already. And I mean, he's just, like you said, just going off on him, and Vader's you kind of even get the feeling where Vader's even like, oh, that might have been a mistake, you know? Like, man, I shouldn't have hit that button quite yet, you know? And so he's just losing it. And then, like, he's got him down. And, Luke's just got this look on his face like, I want to kill you right now. You know what I mean? It's probably the best acting Mark Hamill's ever done. He gets a lot of shit for maybe not being but I think he's talented.
I love Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
he's only grown as an actor.
But that scene in particular, his reaction and his anger and, you know, it looks real. You know what I mean? And after he realized, like, he gets Vader down, he just cut his hand off. It's a really specific time, but, like, he's looking at Vader and he's just got this, like, really intense look on his face, right? And then Palpatine starts, you know, coming in with it. And
he stops.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know, and they have the symbolism of the hand and he's becoming like the machine, you know, so that's one of my favorite scenes. I love that part.
I like the one where there's a dead Ewok and the other Ewok pushes on it and it is like
playing the really sad music.
And then just immediately cuts to something else because the Ewoks don't fucking matter.
Yeah. why was I even talking about that?
Because we're talking about
Luke at the end and that
turning
monkey
to dark
gives.
Side.
Oh,
dark
okay.
Side,
yeah,
possibly.
Sorry. Kind of got off on a tangent there. But,
that's okay.
That's what this podcast is about.
Well, the reason I brought that scene up, though, was because if Luke ends up being evil, now, of course, if something's written well, anything can be good. You know, I don't necessarily think there's things they shouldn't do as long as it's written well. But I do feel like if they make him evil, it kind of cheapens that scene in Return of the
that's
Jedi.
That's what I have been
saying.
I
mean?
That's my,
that's
my
fair.
Big argument. I was like, you cannot do that to Luke because then it totally negates everything he's gone through.
His arc that he went through. through in these movies.
Yeah, it's totally pointless.
It's like, well, he still became evil, and...
Yeah, it's really cheap, and I agree. You know, my interpretation of that last scene is that when he gives that look, it was more a look of exasperation, like, he knew this day was going to come, and he's just, it's finally come.
Well, just imagine seeing that lightsaber for the first time in, like, fucking 40 years, yeah.
And you know,
everything that happened as a result of you being given that thing.
He has been found because he will have to train now Rey to overcome. Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to...
I hope she's not his daughter, honestly.
I really hope that she is not related to anybody and she's just somebody with the Force.
Yeah.
She's got to be...
It's not going to happen that way.
I think they almost have to have some kind of past together.
I think he has trained her.
Yeah, I think she was there
when she was young and was sent away by Luke Skywalker. I hope he's not the father, though.
Yeah, that would be a little much.
I think what everybody expects now, right? I think many people see it because her past is up in the air and they think, she's going to her dad now. She's going to find out Luke's the father because that's what you do in the second movie.
The twist is he is her father, but Leia is the mother.
Oh, no.
I was going to say the twist.
Oh, that's the best part of Empire Strikes
Luke
Back.
Luke is the father and the mother like a seahorse.
Like Cartman's mom.
Jedi are seahorses.
Yeah.
You had it. You heard it.
I don't really have much else to say. I mean, I don't know if you guys do. I think we've covered it. We've established where it is that
I have one more negative point.
Okay.
I actually have one, too.
Good. I'm not alone, then, because I love this movie. But I really don't like Snoke at all.
I like Snoke.
I don't like the way he looks. I think it looks like really bad CG in a movie that doesn't have a ton of bad CG.
And, I'm going to wait and see who he is.
Yeah.
We know nothing about him.
There's something interesting there because I just don't want, again, there's already so many parallels between this and the original trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't just want Emperor Palpatine again.
Exactly.
And I hope that's not where they go. But there's not a lot to go off of in this movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of setup.
It is.
And, you know, you see all these really snarky internet articles like, here's 50 things that were wrong was I hate
oh,
this is a God. Tangent but that annoys me more than anything when some shithead writes an article like here's everything that's wrong with such and such. It's like, what the fuck do you know?
What have you done to get cinema
article. Sends YouTube videos like everything wrong with Captain America the Winter Soldier in 10 minutes or less. It's like, fuck off. And anybody who is a film fan who comes up and talks about that, it's like, did you see no fuck off, and we can't be friends. Like, we can't talk.
Winter Soldier is a fucking awesome movie.
I think Civil War is gonna be even better.
So we'll bring you back for Civil War then, if you like Winter Soldier.
Oh, I love that movie.
We should all go see Civil War together, I think.
When is it? Is it May?
It's May, I think. Yeah,
it'll be a good fucking movie, dude.
Your negative point, what did you have?
Well, it's not really a negative point, per se. I guess it could be, but, like, I was just a little confused. Maybe you guys picked up on something that I didn't, but, like, what is the political situation in this galaxy right now? Like,
God, it's messy.
Why are they resistance? I thought they won.
I think they did, and I think now what is the Empire called now?
The First Order.
The First Order.
Yeah, the Empire, the First Order.
I think that they're more of the rebel fleet. They're a lot more organized because of their previous connections, but I think they're trying to establish dominance because, you know, we see those five planets get blown up, and we see that one
wasn't
planet.
Coruscant, right?
No.
Okay. No, so but I think I that was the Alliance?
It definitely was an Alliance planet, and you see a lot of Alliance members, because those people are wearing outfits similar to what Leia is wearing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Alliance or the Republic, the Rebels have obviously grown in the space between Return and what's happened now. And, you know, the Empire is still in shambles because we do see all those downed vehicles on Jakku. Mm-hmm. I mean... But they are obviously coming back. They still have connections.
They do. I agree with you, Nathan. I think it's a little muddled when you have the Empire still is a thing, but the First Order is something different. You have the Rebel Alliance, and then there's the Resistance now, which is separate from the Rebels. And I don't think it was very clear in this one.
Yeah.
Which maybe they'll expand upon in the sequels, but I also was just like, good and bad. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know how to separate between the two goods and the two bads, but...
That's all you really need, good and bad. You know, and like, I guess it does kind of make sense that just because the Empire lost that last, you know, in Return of the Jedi, like, just because the Emperor and Darth Vader are dead, how many other millions of Empire troops and stuff? You know, they wouldn't all just be like, well, I guess we lost.
You know?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Be like, I kind of, when they first initially announced the movie, I thought that either it would be like a Cold War scenario where they're like, well, we're not really fighting anymore, but we don't really like each other necessarily either.
Okay.
Or, and this is kind of what I thought would have been the cooler option, would be like the Empire becomes the Rebellion, but they're more like a, I don't want to say, but like maybe an ISIS type deal, you know, maybe not that extreme, but you know, there's, like
they are still
smaller,
dark side.
You know, doing more targeted things, you know, or maybe like this really hardcore, you know, like
subset.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Like remember in Halo, like, how they were at peace with the Covenant? This is a really dumb, you know, reference here, but like,
no, it works.
No, it's perfect. Yeah.
But like the Covenant was like, oh, we don't mind you guys anymore. We're not going to try to kill you anymore. But then there's these other ones like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going after him still. Yeah. So that's why you
the
fight.
The First Order could have been the Flood coming in. And
yeah. Or they're just like this, like, especially because Kylo Ren's there, you know, that would have made sense to me. But
yeah.
Instead, it's just kind of like this thing where it's like, well, why are they rebelling against, they don't seem like they really, and how did they build this thing, you know, nobody.
Well, see, and I think a lot of that
30 years they were.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Emperor Snoke. I think we haven't seen what his connections and what his abilities are yet, and I think that'll be something that is explored later on too. So
it's a hard movie.
It's a tiny logic thing. It's like, oh, this Death Star that hasn't worked twice before, it's gonna work this time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it gets destroyed in almost the same exact way.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah.
But
they all have the same weakness. But
with this movie, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between a plot hole and just something they haven't covered yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to critique
it,
you know?
So.
It's like, well, they didn't really tell us anything about Snoke or who anyone is, but it's like, well, they also kind of indicated that was going to come up. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen a Star Wars movie, you know, watching it, that not everything's going to be answered till the last movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's the fun.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want them to have answered all that stuff, but
I love speculation. But overall, we all agree, this is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Totally fits in line with all the other Star Wars,
even better than some.
Some
nitpicks, but
of course,
fuck it, it's Star Wars.
No movie
it's
is
good.
Perfect. Every movie is going to have things that was another thing I hated. Like, Nathan, as soon as this movie came out, there were all these other articles that are like, well, here's all the dumb things they do. It's like, fuck you. You don't even care anyways. Why am I going to listen to you? You're not a fan of this.
Yeah.
Of course, this movie is not fucking perfect.
Like,
what is perfect anyway?
Yeah.
You know, that's such a vague term for a movie.
Yeah.
It's like, what could, if you don't think the movie was perfect or good, or like, what would you have changed to make it perfect?
Yeah, what the fuck
would
you have done?
I'm doing air quotes for a microphone right now, just so you guys
JJ was put in, like, a really tough spot. Like, there was no way he was going to make everybody happy, but I think he made a large percentage of people happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a big win.
Kudos to you, JJ.
It goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's like, it's a very calculated movie.
Yeah.
And you could kind of look at that in two ways. It's either like I said, basically a product that exists, but it made a lot of Star Wars fans happy.
Yeah. It played it a little safe.
It made a lot of Star Wars fans happy, though. I mean, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And I am too. And
we all three are.
I've not really heard anyone just outright say it sucked. Unless it's like for one of the hardcore.
I have in my gaming group, one of the people, but I think he might be like adamant, like against everything, like one of those types. Like,
yeah. See, I've read a couple people on the internet that said that about it, and there are people on like my Facebook friends list, and it's like, I don't, you're a pretentious ass. Like, some of them are people that make movies and they think that they're so fucking head up ass, and they had shit to say about The Hateful Eight too, and it's like, dude, like,
I have shit to say about The Hateful
Eight. Yeah, but I mean, the shit that they were saying, like, oh, Tarantino was jacking himself off, it was a love fest. I was like, have you ever seen a fucking Tarantino flick? That's all the guy does.
He kind of was, but I liked it. You
know?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I knew what I was getting into going in.
I will bite my tongue so this doesn't turn into a two-hour podcast where we just now talk about Hateful Eight.
Well, I'll just say this. Like, we were talking earlier about how, okay, say what you want about Tarantino, whether you like him or hate him. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that he's made that I didn't at least enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree with that.
And how many other directors do you know of that do what he does? You know, and on the scale that he does.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? It's almost a little disheartening in a way. It's like, see, this is what happens when you give someone a budget who has a style, has the original. Well, some people might think Tarantino doesn't have many.
No, not very original.
He reinterprets things.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he's ripping things off necessarily.
Exactly.
But
he's like a nice mixed drink. He takes elements you like and makes something unique out of them.
And it's like, I wish other studios would look at that and be like, well, we can give people money mm-hmm. who aren't going to remake something or comic book movie as much as I enjoy them. You know, it's like you can give them a budget and let them have like a new vision of something and they can make something good that people will go see. Now, granted, Tarantino is a pretty established name
at this point, but he wasn't always. Yeah, like he had to start.
I just watched Pulp Fiction yesterday. It was the first time I'd seen it in probably 10 years.
Still great. And that movie holds the fuck up.
Great.
Yeah, it still holds up.
Like, I was watching, and it was just like, man, you're not going to see something else like this.
No.
Like, you see a lot of stuff that's emulating it, but mm-hmm. this is like the real deal, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, it's like, you know, it's similar to the first Matrix. I mean, that movie came out of nowhere and did exactly what it wanted to do. The others kind of fell flat. But, the Matrix is another movie like Pulp Fiction that for the rest of the 2000s, every other fucking movie tried to be the Matrix in some way or another. Like,
what was the one with Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu?
Fucking X versus Sever. Ballistics? Yeah.
Ray Park. Our buddy Ray Park was in that one.
Yeah.
Our buddy.
He was the Headless Horseman, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he was Sleepy Hollow?
Yeah.
Except when it wasn't the Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
But he was that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew he was Toad, but I didn't know he was...
We're going to try to meet him. But anyways...
My buddy Dan... We'll get him on the podcast. This is a quick story. I don't want to take up too much time here.
Well, go for it.
My buddy Dan, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
But he went to some comic book convention years ago, probably around the time that... Must have been around the time Episode 1 came out, because he knew who Ray Park was, and he wouldn't have before that. I think he was Raiden in Mortal Kombat, like his stuntman or something. But other than that,
he did a lot of stunt work before he got.
So anyway, Dan's at this thing and he they do the Q&A and Dan asks him some really stupid question like who would win in a fight between you and Jet Li or something like that. And I think he said like Ray Park just didn't even answer him. I was like, man, you got snuffed at a Q&A.
That's hilarious.
A next stuntman.
Question.
That reminds me, Jet Li did a. What was the Matrix thing ripoff that he did?
The one where he fought himself.
In like alternate universe.
Yeah. That one had like a cool final shot though with the pyramid of Jet Li's and he's punching all the Jet Li's down.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty dumb, but I like it.
It's dumb fun, but he like sword fights with a motorcycle at one point.
Yeah.
I remember that was in the trailer. Yeah. He picks up a bike and just like smacks some dude in the head with it or something.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I guarantee you the effects hold up.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee best CG.
So, I think we should wrap this the hell up because we have talked pretty well. It was a good episode.
I think we covered all of it.
We had a lot of depth going on here, and it was good. I want to thank Nathan again for coming by, being our first guest.
Yes, thank you so much.
I think you will be back quite frequently. This was really good discussion.
Thank you for experiencing you.
That's a tie-in.
It is a tie-in.
So, Ryan, you want to go ahead and give out our contacts like we do?
Yes. So you can find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind. Please like our page, comment on our posts. We look forward to this. We are almost at 100 likes.
Almost.
We want to pass that.
Yeah.
So help us out. Please join Kyle over on twitter.com/expgrindpodcast. He's doing a bang up job.
Trying
and talking to all kinds of people, which is exciting.
Getting growth.
Growing.
I will say today, if people are interested, I did start our official Experience Grind Twitch channel.
Oh, we are now on Twitch
officially today. So we'll start doing more things related to that. You know, people can watch the stream. We are planning, I know we talked about it a lot, but I think we really should do this Diablo 3 hardcore run soon.
I agree.
People can watch that. That'll be something pretty exciting because, there's weight in that. Once you're dead in that, you're fucking dead. Yeah, screw you if you're level 60. Sorry, buddy. You're out.
I've never played a Diablo game.
They're really good.
Some of them. That'll be an issue for a very soon future episode.
And this could be cut if we're not ready to talk about it, but real soon we'll have a YouTube channel up with some footage that we're working on right now for it.
Yeah, well, that was a big day yesterday. You and I took a professional wrestling class.
We did.
And got beat the shit out of.
My neck is really sore right now.
Mine is too. But it was good stuff, and we got good footage of it, so look out for that too on the YouTube. We'll be promoting that. So, reach out to us. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you so much for listening as always. Reach out to us. We'll have Nathan back too. Thanks a lot, Nathan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Later, everybody.
Once the first wiener comes out, you know the podcast has started. All right, you may continue. Sorry.